Blog Talk Radio.
Rejoice and be glad in it. For the Lord is great and greatly to be praised. Oh, magnify the Lord with me. Let us exalt his holy name together. Let us enter into his gates with thanksgiving and let us enter into his holy courts with praise. Good morning and God bless you, my brothers and sisters all over this world. You are indeed listening to the Spirit Alive Praise and Worship Experience for this Sunday, December 18th, 2022. Now, I'm the woman of God of this assembly. I'm Apostle Shalene Cook. But as always, I am joined by some very special and very anointed servant leaders in the persons of Bishop Lester Carver, Pastor Vanessa Carver, Evangelist Michelle Scott, Mother Shirley Snyder Mitchell, and Apostle Zeta Flowers. So on behalf of all of us here at the Spirit Alive Network, we want to welcome you to this morning's service, and we pray that you will hear something that will uplift your spirit and bless your very soul. Now, at this time, we are going to go to opening prayer with our very own Evangelist Michelle Scott. Amen.
Amen. God bless you. God bless you, Bishop. If we could just all close our eyes and bow our heads and humble our hearts as we go to the throne of grace and mercy. Lord God, we come thanking you for touching each of us with your finger of love and allowing our eyes to spring open today to see a day that we've never seen before. We thank you for being above the ground instead of being below it, Father God. Father God, we thank you for loving us so much that you have forgiven us of all of our sins. Thank you for giving us a new hope in life. We thank you, and words could not express how much we love and appreciate you, Father God, for all that you do for us. Father God, you are Alpha and Omega, the beginning and the end, and there is none other like you, Father God, and we just lift you up on today, and we thank you so much for all you do. We thank you for our families and friends and loved ones. We thank you and we praise you and we magnify your most holy and righteous name. Words just can't express how much you mean to us, not just on today, Father God, but on each day. Thank you for loving us more than we could ever love ourselves. Thank you for being so very patient with us, Lord God, and allowing us to make mistakes, but pulling us up out of our mistakes. Thank you, Father God. You help us just in the nick of time, Father God, and turn us from the way that we might be going in that could be destructive. We just thank you and praise you. We thank you for moving scales from eyes and unstopping ears so that your people will be able to see your works, read your word, hear your word, and follow your word, Father God. Lord, we love you, and we praise you on today and always. And it's in Jesus' name we lift you up. Amen.
Amen.
Three kings of Orient are bearing gifts. We traverse afar, field and fountain, moor and mountain, following yonder star. Oh, star of wonder, star of night, star with royal beauty bright. Westward leading, still proceeding, guide us to thy perfect light. Born a king on Bethlehem's plain, gold I bring to crown him again. King forever, ceasing never, over us all to reign. Oh, star of wonder, star of night, star with royal beauty bright. Westward leading, still proceeding, guide us to thy perfect light. Frankincense to offer have I, incense on the deity nigh, prayer and praising, all men raising, worship in God most high. Oh, star of wonder, star of night, star with royal beauty bright. West we're leading, still proceeding, guide us to thy perfect light. Myrrh is mine, its bitter perfume, breeze of a life of gathering gloom. Sorrow, sighing, bleeding, dying, sealed in the stone-cold tomb. Oh, star of wonder, star of night, star with royal beauty bright. Westward leading, still proceeding, guide us to thy perfect light. Glorious now, behold him arise, King and God and Savior. world with royal beauty bright. West we're leading, still proceeding. Guide us to thy perfect light.
Hallelujah and glory to God. It is now time for this morning's meditational reading. And each and every Sunday morning, we ask our most beloved mother of the church, Mother Shirley Snyder Mitchell, to come and read to us from a powerful devotional written by Pastor Joseph Prince entitled Destined to Reign. So won't you please retrieve your Bibles and give your undivided attention to the mother of our assembly, Mother Shirley Snyder Mitchell.
Amen. Good morning, everyone. Our meditational reading today is See Your Situation Through God's Eyes. And then we'll be looking at Psalms 1, verse 3. He shall be like a tree planted by the rivers of water that bring forth its fruit in its season, whose leaves so shall not wither, and whatever he does shall prosper. When darkness covered the face of the earth, God said, let there be light, and there was light. Genesis 1 and 3. When a certain man, paralyzed for 38 years, lay helpless at the pool of Bethesda, Jesus said, rise, take up your bed and walk. And immediately the man was healed, took up his bed and walked. John 5, verses 8 and 9. You don't say such words unless you are something others, unless you know something others don't, or see something others don't. Excuse me. God does not see the way man sees. Man, however, must see the way God sees. We must see the vision of the Almighty. The prophet Balaam saw the vision of the Almighty when the Spirit of God fell on him. As he looked down from a mountain at the camp of the Israelites, he found himself saying, how lovely are your tents, O Jacob, your dwellings, O Lord, like valleys that stretch out like gardens by the riverside, like aloes planted by the Lord, like cedar beside the rivers. Numbers 24, 5, and 6. Balaam would not have said that this unless he saw Israel not in the natural, but as God saw it. At that time, the Israelites were a discontented lot, always murmuring and complaining in the wilderness. But when God looked at them, he saw them like flourishing garden plants by the rivers, fruitful and prosperous. Beloved, God wants you to see yourself the way he sees you, like a tree planted by the rivers of water that bring forth its fruit in its season, whose leaves also shall not wither, and whatever he does shall prosper. So see yourself like a tree planted by the river of waters, bringing forth fruit in your season. See yourself as one who will not wither, whose health will not fail. See whatever you do prospering. See the vision of the Almighty. That vision is always a good vision. Whenever you see your situation through God's eyes, you will find that your situation will change, because when you see as he sees, you allow him to work as the Almighty in your life. Amen. May the Lord add blessing and favors to the readers, hearers, and especially the doers of his holy and righteous word. The thoughts for the day, see your negative situations through God's eyes, and that situation and those situations will change. Amen and praise God.
Amen.
Thank you.
Hallelujah. Thank you, Jesus. It is now time for our for prayer time. It's prayer time here at the Spirit Alive Praise and Worship Experience. And this is a time where we simply come standing in the gap for our brothers and sisters all over this world. And as Christmas approaches, we have been focusing on our brothers and sisters, especially at this time of the year, that may be going through, that might not be so merry right now. But we come knowing that our God is able to do exceedingly and abundantly more than we could ever think to ask. We know that God himself is the lifter of our heads, and we also know that when we He abides in us and we abide in him, that we can ask what we will and it shall be done. And it is with that attitude of gratitude and expectation that we pray here at the Spirit Alive Praise and Worship Experience. So at this time, I'm going to ask that you clear your minds, that you bow your hearts and prepare to stand in agreement with the woman of God, Apostle Zeta Flowers, as she takes us to his throne of grace. Amen.
Amen. God bless you, everyone. We are going to now go into prayer. Praise God. So let us all prepare ourselves to go to the throne of grace. Heavenly Father, we thank you. We thank you this morning. We thank you, Lord, for your presence. We thank you that you are with us morning. We thank you for allowing us to wake up and to have the ability to get up. We thank you for it this morning. We thank you that we can lean and depend upon you. And we thank you for all that you have given us and for continuing to bless us and to give to us. We thank you. We thank you for prospering us in your own way. We thank you for your healing and your miraculous power. We thank you for giving us your power that we can operate in your strength and that we can stand even on the days of our battles. We thank you that we can have the confidence in you, God, that we can have confidence in you who have defeated all evil. We thank you for it, Lord. We thank you that we can continue, that we can go on in you, Christ Jesus. We thank you for the freedom in being saved. We thank you so much, Lord, for salvation and all that you did so that we could be free, so that we could be saved and build upon your kingdom and do your will.
Yes.
We thank you for that, Lord.
Jesus.
We thank you. Hallelujah.
Yes.
We thank you for leading and guiding us. During the times that we didn't know which way to go, we thank you for your leading. We thank you for keeping us in the center of your will. We thank you, Lord. We thank you
for all that
you continue to do. We thank you that we can come to you. We thank you at any time, any hour, no matter what is going on, we can come to you. We thank you. We thank you that we do have favor. Hallelujah. We have favor with you, and we just praise you for it and thank you for it this morning. We thank you for your mercy. We thank you for your grace. We thank you for your love. Hallelujah. That continues.
Yes.
We thank you.
Yes,
we thank
Lord.
You, Lord. For all that you are, we thank you. We thank you for touching our lives, and we thank you for making us to be all that you want us to be. We thank you that even in our trials and the tribulations that we go through are yet the making of us. And we thank you. We thank you for it, Lord. We thank you.
Lord.
Hallelujah. We thank you for keeping us safe and your hand of protection being upon us in this wicked world. Hallelujah. We thank you that we know that no matter what's going on, hallelujah, you will take care of your own. And we thank you and appreciate you for that, Lord. Hallelujah.
Thank you, Lord,
for the mindset that you have given us, Lord, that we show forth mercy upon others in the name of Jesus and that we can provide help. Hallelujah, for others through you, Christ Jesus. We praise you for it this morning. Hallelujah. And Father God, we ask, Lord, that you would move mightily in all these situations, Lord, that we're hearing about in the name of Jesus, the increase in the virus in certain places and areas, Lord. We pray that your people will keep themselves safe and that they will do the right things, Lord, in order to be safe.
Yes.
We just praise you. Hallelujah. For teaching us your way. We thank you this morning. We thank you for healings and miracles and breakthroughs. We thank you because we can depend upon you for that. Praise God. And we just ask, Lord, that you would remember those, Lord, all across the nation. Hallelujah. People that are still not saved. People that still don't know about you and don't know that they can have a relationship with you, Lord. We pray, hallelujah, for them, hallelujah, that they will know you in the pardoning of their sins, that they will be blessed and helped and, hallelujah, and know who you really are. We just thank you, Lord. Hallelujah. Hallelujah.
Yeah.
For using,
yeah.
using others, Lord, using us, hallelujah, in their behalf. We thank you for
yes,
that.
And Lord.
Lord, we know, hallelujah, that the murder and crime and all of this, the crime rate has gone up. But we know that you are yet on the throne. We know that you are looking high and looking low. Hallelujah. We know what you can do. So we look to you this morning to move in a mighty way, in a miraculous
yes.
way, Lord, across the nations. Hallelujah. Hallelujah. In these situations, Lord, that seem impossible, we know that with you, all things are possible. So we're calling on you this morning. We're calling for your help in all these situations, Lord. Hallelujah. Where people are suffering. Hallelujah. Where people are needing you. Hallelujah. For their
yes.
for their food.
Yes.
Hallelujah. Their natural food and their spiritual food. And so we're asking, Lord, that you would move. Hallelujah, in these areas, all across the nation, in the name of Jesus, in the name of Jesus, that you would continue to send laborers, hallelujah, into your vineyard, Lord, that they may make a difference, hallelujah, in this world, hallelujah, hallelujah.
Yeah.
And I pray, Lord, that you will continue to
Lord
keep
God.
Us empowered, hallelujah, to do what you have
yeah.
given us to do, Lord, hallelujah, that we will make sure, Lord, hallelujah, that we are doing your will, hallelujah, in the way that you would have us to do it, in Jesus'
yeah.
name, hallelujah. We pray, Lord, that our mindsets will be like yours, hallelujah, that we will have the love and the care for others like you do, hallelujah, in Jesus' name, that we will come to that place, Lord, where we don't want to turn anybody away, but that we will embrace them. That we will love them with that
yeah.
with the love that you have instilled in us, God, in Jesus' name. We thank you for the faith, hallelujah, that we have faith, hallelujah. Help us even
yeah.
the more to exercise our faith, God, in the name of Jesus, in Jesus' name, that we know, we will know, hallelujah, what you can do, hallelujah, and we will depend upon you even the more, God, and teach others to look to you by faith, hallelujah, to just believe, hallelujah, when they need your help, hallelujah, that they will learn how to look to you, God, knowing that when we ask for your help, Lord, we are going to have it, and we just thank you for it. We thank you, Lord, this morning for your presence in the jails and the juvenile halls and the prisons, Lord.
Yes,
we thank
Lord.
You, hallelujah. We thank you, Lord, for who you're sending in there and how they are making a difference. And in the name of Jesus, we thank you, Lord. Hallelujah. And Father God, we just thank you for your healing power in the hospitals and places, Lord, where people are sick, hallelujah, and even dying. We thank you, Lord, that you are yet raising up your people. Hallelujah, that
yes.
you are yet healing. We thank you for that, Lord. Hallelujah.
Yeah, miracle
work. Jesus' name. Oh, God.
Yeah.
Hallelujah. We lift up our own families today to you. We ask, Lord, that you
yeah.
would that you would bless them, that you would empower them, Lord. Hallelujah. That you would help them in their walk, Lord. Hallelujah. And those, Lord, that are feeling like they are getting what they need, Lord. We pray that you would help them to know and to realize, hallelujah, that if they stay with you, God, that they continue to live for you, God, that they continue, hallelujah, to want to be in your presence, hallelujah, to want to hear your word, hallelujah, that they will stay strong, hallelujah. We thank you, Lord, hallelujah. We thank you, Jesus, for how you're
yes.
moving,
thank
hallelujah,
you,
in all of these countries, Lord, where the war has affected so many people. Hallelujah.
Yeah.
We thank you, Lord, that you are tending to them. We thank you, Lord, that they are being helped. We thank you. We thank you that our prayers are being answered. And we thank you, Lord, hallelujah, for moving in our midst. If there's any sick among us today, Lord, we lift them up to you. We ask, Lord, that you would touch and heal. Hallelujah. Hallelujah. We thank you for touching our sister, Pastor Vanessa, this morning. Hallelujah. And if there's anyone else, Lord, that needs a miracle, hallelujah, needs a healing, needs a breakthrough, we ask, Lord, that you would touch right now and that you would move by your spirit, God. And
yes,
we thank
Lord.
You for it. We thank you, Lord, in advance for the message that's going forth this morning. Hallelujah. That message will penetrate. Hallelujah.
Yes,
that the message will touch. Hallelujah. That someone, hallelujah, will hear. Hallelujah. And their lives will be better. Hallelujah. Because of it. We thank you. We lift up Spirit
thank
Alive
you,
Ministry.
Glory
hallelujah.
To God.
We pray, Lord, for your continued blessings upon this ministry.
Yeah.
In Jesus' name, hallelujah. And we thank you for every servant leader, Lord. We pray that you would continue
Lord.
To move
yes,
in
Lord.
Us, Lord.
Thank you.
Hallelujah. In the name of Jesus, keep us uplifted, Lord. Hallelujah. In the name of Jesus, and more than anything, desiring and doing your will. In Jesus' holy and righteous name, bless Apostle Shirlene this morning,
Lord.
In a great way, Lord, in the name of Jesus. Restore upon her, Lord, all that she has put out this week. In Jesus' name,
Lord.
Hallelujah,
bless
in the mighty name of Jesus, we thank you. And we thank you
thank
for touching
you.
Mother Mitchell. We thank you that she
Lord.
Is feeling
thank
better.
You.
Hallelujah,
holy
we thank you that she is uplifted. Hallelujah.
Yeah.
We praise you for it, God. In Jesus' holy and righteous name, we thank you. Amen
thank you.
And amen.
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 Amen. Thank you, Jesus.
Amen.
Hallelujah, Lord.
Amen.
Yes, Lord God. We bless you this morning.
Thank you, Jesus.
Glory to God. Thank you, Jesus.
Glory
hallelujah, God.
Thank
hallelujah.
You.
Thank you, Lord.
Thank
you. Thank you.
We serve a true and a living God.
Oh, yes.
One that is able to do all things. And he's the King
glory.
Of glory. The great I am. He's the Rose of Sharon. He's the perfect land. The Bible tells us that he's the root of David. He's faithful and true. Strong and mighty. Yes. He's the Prince of Peace.
I'll forever praise you. Oh, Lamb of God. For you came and touched me. With your healing rod.
So great I am.
your name I will proclaim.
Yes.
In all of the earth, until every tongue and tribe speaks out your word. Lord, I'll sing of your goodness each day that I live. No other God can redeem my soul. Only you can forgive. You're the King of glory. You're the great I am. He's the root of David. You can depend on him. Faithful and true. Yes, he is. Strong and mighty. He's the Prince of Peace.
Hallelujah, hallelujah. It is now time for today's message. And if you have never been with us here at the, this is your first time here with us at the Spirit of Life Praise and Worship Experience, I'm here to tell you that you are going to be blessed. Because today, our message will be coming from none other than our anointed Bishop, pastor, and teacher, Lester Carver, who is truly a man after God's own heart. He desires for all men and women and boys and girls to come to know Jesus for themselves. So if you have not already done so, please retrieve your Bibles. Get something to write with and to write on, and prepare to receive a rhema word from the man of God, Bishop Lester Carver. Amen.
Amen.
Amen. Amen.
Apostle Coates, thank you for that wonderful introduction. Today we're going to be speaking about Jesus Christ, the hope of glory. But before we get started, I'm going to open with a word of prayer. Heavenly Father, I thank you for today, God. I thank you for your presence in our life, God. Father, I thank you for your spirit that dwells within us, God. Father, I thank you for all of those that you are drawing to you who do not know your son, Jesus Christ, as their master, God. Father, I thank you for you. allowing your word to have its complete and perfect work in all those who hear it today. God, Father, allow us to draw near in our relationship to you, no matter where we are right now. Allow us to draw near to you, knowing that you've given us access through the blood of your Son, Jesus Christ, to your throne. I thank you for this right now in the name of your Son, Jesus Christ. Amen. This morning,
Amen.
I'm speaking about Jesus Christ, the hope of glory. And I'm speaking about Jesus as the hope of glory because the real pandemic in the world today is hopelessness. And when we
yes.
hear of the pandemic and all of those who died during the pandemic, and all of a sudden we're in this transition where we are still concerned, but we are
mm-hmm.
not feeling like we're in the midst of a pandemic anymore. When the actual pandemic that we are experiencing right now is hopelessness. Men,
mm-hmm.
women, and children are committing suicide at incredible rates, remarkable rates. And when we go through times of the year, as we are right now, of the holiday seasons that cause us to miss our loved ones more than ever, it is the hope that we're able to offer people that Jesus Christ, the hope of glory, is going to be with us and is with us and enables us to do all that God has given us to do so that we can move forward in the things of God, we can move forward in the things of life, we can go beyond the circumstances and not be trapped in hopelessness because of what we don't know that God has given us to do in his word or this morning, this afternoon. I want to start in the book of Hebrews, and I'm going to be reading in chapter 2 because it's going to speak about our relationship to Jesus Christ and Jesus Christ's relationship to us and what we are able to access through that relationship. Look at what it says here. It says, therefore, we must give the more earnest heed to the things we have heard, lest we drift away. For if the word spoken through angels proved steadfast, and every transgression and disobedience received a just reward, how shall we escape if we neglect so great a salvation, which at the first began to be spoken by the Lord and was confirmed to us by those who heard him? God also bearing witness, both with signs and wonders, with various miracles and gifts of the Holy Spirit according to his own will. And what we see here is that we have to take heed to the word that we've heard, lest we drift away. And it's speaking of all of these transgressions and the disobedience that the blood of Christ has paid for. It said, how shall we escape if we neglect our great salvation, right? But the word that was spoken to us by Jesus Christ was confirmed by him. And it says, God bore witness with both signs and wonders and various miracles and gifts of the Holy Spirit according to his own will. Now we see in the following verses how Jesus Christ was made a little lower than the angels. Look at what it says here in verse 5, and we're going to read from verse 5 to 8. It says, for he has not put the world to come, of which we speak, in subjection to angels. But one testified in a certain place, saying, what is man that you are mindful of him, or the son of man that you take care of him? You have made him a little lower than the angels. You have crowned him with glory and honor, and set him over the works of your hands. You have put all things in subjection under his feet. For in that he put all things under subjection under him, he left nothing that is not put under him. But now we do not see all things put under him, but we see Jesus, who was made a little lower than the angels for the suffering of death, crowned with glory and honor, that he, by the grace of God, might taste death for everyone. So Jesus Christ was made a little lower than the angels so that he could taste death for everyone. He was crowned with death and glory and honor so that he could taste death for everyone. And look at what it says here. The end, the reason, the purpose of this was so that he could bring many sons to glory. Look at what it says here in verse 10. It says, for it was fitting for him, for whom all things and by whom all things, in bringing many sons to glory, to make the captain of their salvation perfect through sufferings. For both he who sanctifies and those who are being sanctified, those who are being set apart, are all one. For which reason he is not ashamed to call them brethren, saying, and this is Jesus Christ speaking, he who is the one who sanctifies and those who are being sanctified, we're all one. And he's not ashamed to call them brethren, saying, I will declare your name to my brethren. In the midst of the assembly, I will sing praise to you. And again, I will put my trust in him. And again, here am I and the children whom God has given me. This is what Jesus Christ has to say about you. This is the hope that should echo in the chamber of your heart, that we are among those whom God has given to Christ. And he is singing praises to God and declaring God's name in the midst of those whom he considers brethren. But look at what it says here in verses 14 to 18. This is really the key. This is where I'm going today, speaking of this pandemic of hopelessness. It says, inasmuch then as the children have partaken of flesh and blood, he himself likewise shared in the same, that through death he might destroy him who had the power of death, that is the devil, and release those who through fear of death were all their lifetime subject to bondage. I want to stop there for a minute. I want to stop there because this is the framework that really defines the reality of all of us who are living in the world today. It says, inasmuch then as the children have partaken of flesh and blood, he himself likewise, speaking of Jesus Christ, shared in the same. He might destroy who had the power of death, that is the devil, and release those who through fear of death were all their lifetime subject to bondage. See, it's the fear of death that is subject men and women and children to bondage. The fear of death has this pandemic of hopelessness. And the fear of death is not just something that's impacting people because of their individual fear of death, but it's also impacting them because of ignorance pertaining to the things of death. In Psalm 6:5, it says, in death there is no remembrance of thee. In the grave, who shall give thee thanks? People do not understand that when you die, especially when you die and you're in Christ and you are saved, there is no consciousness. We are waiting for the return of Jesus Christ. However, in the world, there are these pagan ideals. There are these pagan ideas. There are these pagan notions that when people die, they are floating around somewhere in the cosmos, and they're operating in the midst of us. And that is a pagan idea. That is not a scriptural idea. That is the kind of thing that leads people into being seduced by devil spirits, by familiar spirits, and they are drawn away from the things of God and taken down a very dark road to their own demise because of what they do not know. And that's why we're going to look at very specifically what it says here in the Word so that we're no longer among those who are subject to the fear of death and all of our lifetime bonds in bondage through this fear of death, knowing that Jesus Christ came to destroy the work of the devil. And look at this. This is an interesting thing because when we understand that It's our hope in Jesus Christ that we're waiting for the return of Jesus Christ that gives us hope. We are no longer afraid of death because we know that the next thing that we are aware of is going to be when Jesus Christ returns and the dead in Christ rise and those who are alive are changed and we meet him together in the air. That's the thing that we're going to know after we die if Jesus Christ doesn't come right now while we're alive. And that is our hope. That is what we look forward to. Now, if you do not have that hope, then you're in another place. And that's why we're trying to make available to people the death, burial, and resurrection of Jesus Christ so that they can share in the hope of the return in Jesus Christ and no longer be subject to the fear of death for the remainder of their lifetime. See, I'm told there are two things that we are born afraid of. We are afraid of falling. That is one thing. We are afraid of loud noises. And it's interesting because when you think of our first two experiences when we come into the world, we're coming usually headfirst into the world or being pulled up or being pulled. We're being moved quickly. And that fear of falling probably is connected to that experience of being birthed. And also, thing we experience is the second fear, which is a fear of loud noises. And, you know, the story goes that typically we're spanked on the bottom and then we scream out.
Man.
These are our first two experiences, but those are the only two things you're born with. What that means is that the fear of death is learned. The fear of death, though, comes through our experience, which is we're all born in sin. And we're born into a sinful world, and this is an experience of sin that creates more fear. And the main fear is this fear of death that subjects us to bondage. So we need to know what it is that God is doing so that we are not subject to this fear. Look at what it says in verse 16. I'm going to read 16 and 18. It says, "For indeed he does not give aid to angels, but he does give aid to the seed of Abraham. Therefore, in all things, he had to be made like his brethren," speaking of Jesus Christ, "that he might be a merciful and faithful high priest in things pertaining to God, to make propitiation for the sins of the people. For in that he himself has suffered being tempted, he is able to aid those who are tempted." And so, see, Jesus Christ was made a high priest to God for us, to make payment for the sins of the people, for our sins, for us. And he had to endure these things for his brethren so that he might be a merciful and faithful high priest in the things pertaining to God. And see, it's interesting here because it says he doesn't give aid to angels, but he gives aid to the seed of Abraham. We are accounted as the seed of Abraham. And this is an interesting thing. Let's see, to go to Romans chapter 4. And in Romans chapter 4, I'd like to read from verses 18 to 21. It says, "Who Abraham," speaking of Abraham, it says, "who against hope believed in hope that he might become the father of many nations according to that which was spoken, so shall thy seed be. And being not weak in faith, he considered not his own body dead when he was about 100 years old." When he was about 100 years old, neither yet the death of Sarah's womb, he staggered not at the promise of God through unbelief, but was strong in the faith, giving glory to God, and being fully persuaded that what God promised, he was also able to perform. And see, that's what we have to be. That's where we have to be in our relationship with God. That's what creates the hope, is against hope. Abraham believed in the promise of God. The promise was that he was going to be the father of many nations, but this man is 99 years old. His wife is 90 years old. They are way past seed-bearing age. And yet, God promises they're going to have this child, and Abraham's going to be a father of many nations, and he staggered not at the promise of God. He hoped, believing, against hope, he believed in hope. And we have to have that hope of the return of Jesus Christ so that no matter what the circumstances look like, we do not fall victim to this pandemic of hopelessness. And as we share the word of God with others, we are leading them out of this pandemic of hopelessness. We are leading them out of this attack of the devil, causing them to shrink in fear because of the fear of death. So look at what it says in 1 Thessalonians chapter 4. I'm going to be reading from verses 13 to 18 because this is really important here. And we know that the Bible says that God's people are destroyed for lack of knowledge. Look at what it says here in regard to the comfort of Christ coming. In verse 13 it says, "But I do not want you to be ignorant, brethren, concerning those who have fallen asleep, lest you sorrow as others who have no hope." See, God does not want us suffering as those who have no hope. We have to understand that death is experienced by all men, except for those who happen to be alive when Jesus Christ returns. So in the world, they say, oh, there are two things that are certain, death and taxes, and that's not true. Not true, but those who are alive when Jesus Christ comes back, we will be changed, but we will not experience death as others experience death. That's what it says. But I do not want you to be ignorant, brethren, concerning those who have fallen asleep, concerning those who are dead in Christ, lest you sorrow as others who have no hope. For if we believe that Jesus died and rose again, even so God will bring with him those who sleep in Jesus. And we have to understand that our faith requires us to stand on the promise of God. And those who have no hope, when their loved ones die, they are grieving because they are gone. That's it. That is really it. And yet, for us, we believe in Jesus' resurrection, and we also have that same hope for those who sleep in Jesus, for those who are dead in Christ. Look at what it says in 15. It says, "For this we say to you by the word of the Lord, that we who are alive and remain until the coming of the Lord will by no means precede those who are asleep." See, the Christians at this time, they were concerned because they were seeing their loved ones in Christ pass away. And they were thinking they were going to miss the return of Christ. They were not going to experience this promise that was promised to them. And then this had to be shared. It says in verse 16, it says, "For the Lord himself will descend from heaven with a shout, with the voice of the archangel, and with the trumpet of God, and the dead in Christ will rise first. Then we who are alive and remain shall be caught up together with them in the clouds to meet the Lord in the air. And thus we shall always be with the Lord. Therefore, comfort one another with these words." See, it feels nice when someone is grieving and you tell them your loved one isn't really, really dead. They're up in heaven looking down on you. And that sounds like a good thing to say, but that is not what God tells you to say. What God tells you is this. He says, "For this we say unto you by the word of the Lord, that we who are alive and remain until the coming of the Lord will by no means precede those who are asleep. For the Lord himself will descend from heaven with a shout, with the voice of the archangel, and with the trump of God, and the dead in Christ will rise first." See, the dead in Christ are going to rise first. And then we who are alive and remain shall be caught up together with them in the clouds to meet the Lord in the air. See, it's all going to happen at the same time. We're not going to have those of us who are down here and those of us who are up there, and we're going to be just going up there one at a time. That's not happening. We are one body of Christ, and we're going to meet the Lord in the air together. And the dead in Christ are going to rise first. And then those of us who are alive are going to be caught up. We're going to be changed. We're going to meet them in the clouds in the air. And thus shall we always be with the Lord. That is the words that we're to comfort one another with. And that's a hard thing. It is a hard thing. It's a hard thing because it sounds comforting to tell people that your dead loved ones aren't really dead. It's not the truth. And so it makes the word the equivalent of a Greek myth, a fable, a story. And people have proven you can believe anything. People believe all kinds of things. But we are speaking the truth in love to those who want to be drawn out of hopelessness, those who want to be drawn out of bondage, of the fear of death. And the only way for us to do that is to share with them the word of God boldly. So look at what it says here in 1 Corinthians chapter 15, verses 50 to 58. It says, and this is speaking of our final victory. It says, now this I say, brethren, that flesh and blood cannot inherit the kingdom of God, nor does corruption inherit incorruption. Behold, I tell you a mystery. We shall not all sleep, but we shall all be changed. In a moment, in the twinkling of an eye, at the last trumpet. See, what happens at a specific time, at the last trumpet. That's when it happens. For the trumpet will sound, and the dead will be raised incorruptible, and we shall be changed. That's what it says. Corruptible must put on, and this mortality. So when this corruptible has put on incorruption, and this mortal has put on immortality, then shall be brought to pass the saying that is written, death is swallowed up in victory. O death, where is your sting? O Hades, where is your victory? The sting of death is sin, and the strength of sin is the law. But thanks be to God who gives us the victory through our Lord Jesus Christ. Therefore, my brethren, be steadfast, immovable, always abounding in the work of the Lord, knowing that your labor is not in vain. See, that's our hope. We are not doing this for nothing. Our labor is not in vain. God has given us great hope. And the return of his son, Jesus Christ, is that hope. Look at what it says here in Acts chapter 1, verses 9 to 11. And it goes all the way back to the beginning of this. This is before they receive the Holy Spirit. When Jesus spent 40 days speaking with his disciples, recounting all those things that happened before he was crucified, and now he was raised from the dead, he spoke with them, he reiterated everything he told them before, and then this is what happened. In verses 9 to 11 of Acts chapter 1, it says, now when he had spoken these things, while they watched, he was taken up, and a cloud received him out of their sight. And while they looked steadfastly toward heaven as he went up, behold, two men stood by them in white apparel, who also said, men of Galilee, why do you stand gazing up into heaven? This same Jesus who was taken up from you into heaven will so come in like manner as you saw him go into heaven. See, that is the promise. That is our hope, that the same Jesus but went up into heaven will so come in like manner. And we are looking forward to the return of God's Son, Jesus Christ. That is real for us. And that hope is what we're sharing with others. So look at what it says here in Titus chapter 2, verses 11 to 15. It says, God that brings salvation has appeared to all men, teaching us that denying ungodliness and worldly lust, we should live soberly and righteously and godly in the present age, looking for the blessed hope and the glorious appearing of our great God and Savior, Jesus Christ, who gave himself for us, that he might redeem us from every lawless deed and purify himself, his own special people, zealous for good works. Speak these things, exhort and rebuke with all authority. Let no one despise you. See, our hope is the return. We're looking for that blessed hope and glorious appearing of our Lord and Savior Jesus Christ. This is what we're looking forward to. It is what we are dwelling on. It is what we're seeking. And see, when we understand that God is serious about what God is doing, then we become equally serious about what God is doing, because we know that it's to our benefit. It is to our benefit that we are looking to the day of the Lord. Now, look what it says about the day of the Lord. It says, but the day of the Lord will come as a thief in the night, in which the heavens will pass away with a great noise, and the elements will melt with fervent heat.
Mm-hmm.
Both the earth and the works that are therein will be burned up. Therefore, since all these things will be dissolved, what manner of persons ought you to be in holy conduct and godliness, looking for and hastening the coming of the day of God, because of which the heavens will be dissolved, being on fire, and the elements will melt with fervent heat? Nevertheless, we, according to his promise, look for new heavens and a new earth in which righteousness dwells. See, God is giving us this hope and this promise. And this is what is taking us beyond what we know and understand. And we are all going to be changed. That is something to look forward to. But God does not want us to be staggering at his promise. God does not want us to be in faith. God wants us to be strong in faith and give glory to God and be fully persuaded that God is able to perform what he promises in his word. And see, when this is the case, then we comfort one another with the words that God tells us to comfort one another with, so that we're not lying to people. You know, sometimes lies are easier than the truth. But when you tell people the truth, then God can set them free and give them the real promise and the real reward and the real joy that he wants to give them, so that they can be transformed and understand that God's presence in their life is real. Look at what it says here in 1 John 3, the commandment of love. It says, behold, what manner of love the Father has bestowed on us, that we should be called children of God. Therefore, the world does not know us, because it did not know him. Beloved, now are we the children of God, and it has not yet been revealed what we shall be. But we know that when he is revealed, when we shall be like him, for we shall see him as he is. And everyone who has this hope in him purifies himself just as he is pure. Isn't that an awesome promise? Isn't that something to hope for?
Him
as he is. We don't know what Jesus Christ was like when he appeared, but we know that when we see him, we're going to be like him, and that is an awesome thing. Look at what it says here in Luke 21, 25, 28, the coming of the Son of Man. It says, and there will be signs in the sun, in the moon, and in the stars, and on the earth, distress of nations with perplexity, the sea and the waves roaring, men's hearts failing them with fear and the expectation of those things which are coming on the earth, for the powers of the heavens will be shaken. Then they will see the Son of Man coming in a cloud with power and great glory. Now, when these things begin to happen, look up and lift your heads up, because your redemption draws near. See, that's what the word says. That is what we are looking forward to. That is not the easiest thing to handle. But you know what? When we understand the nature of the promise of God, then we're not subject to fear. What we're doing is we're standing on the promises of God. So look at what it says here again about the promises of God in Matthew 24. And in Matthew 24, verse 29, it says about the coming of the Son of Man immediately after the tribulation of those days. The sun will be darkened, and the moon will not give its light. The stars will fall from heaven, and the powers of the heavens will be shaken. The sign of the Son of Man will appear in heaven, and then all the tribes of the earth will mourn, and they will see the Son of Man coming on the clouds of heaven with power and great glory. And he will send his angels with a great sound of a trumpet, and they will gather together his elect from the four winds, from one end of heaven to the other. So there is nowhere that you're going to be where you're going to be able to escape or be missed or overlooked.
He's coming back.
Yes.
And so now, this is what he tells us to do. This is what he tells us to do. In 2 Timothy 4:1-8, he says, preach the word. I charge you, therefore, before God and the Lord Jesus Christ, who will judge the living and the dead at his appearing and his kingdom. Preach the word. Be ready in season and out of season. Convince, rebuke, exhort with all long-suffering and teaching. For the time will come when they will not endure sound doctrine, but according to the desires, because they have itching ears, they will heap up teachers for themselves. See, I could sit back and tell you all day, yeah, your loved ones are up in heaven looking down on you, and you should be praying for them and offering up sacrifices for them and talking to them and this, that, and the other, and I would be misleading you. I would not be telling you.
No, you'd be lying.
Yeah. And you feel good for a moment, but then you'd have to turn around and say, how does that help me? Look at what it says in verse 4. And they will turn their ears away from the truth and be turned aside to fables. But you endure affliction, do the work of an evangelist, fulfill your ministry, right? And then Paul says, for I am already being poured out as a drink offering, and the time of my departure is at hand. I have fought the good fight. I have finished the race. I have kept the faith. Finally, there is laid up for me the crown of righteousness, which the Lord, the righteous judge, will give me on that day. And not to me only, but also to all who have loved his appearing. See, that's our hope. We're not doing this for nothing. We're going to receive a crown of righteousness when we love his appearing, when our hope is in the appearing of our Savior Jesus
Christ.
On that day, right? See, there's an appointed time for all these things, and it's not when you die. So when Jesus Christ, when it says in the word labor to enter into my rest, hey, you know what? That rest, that time of you're asleep in Christ, awaiting the return of Christ, you know what? You don't have anything to fear, because death is the end. The end is for those who are not in Christ. And they get to experience death twice. And so now, for us, it says we're looking forward to that crown of righteousness because we look forward to the return of our Lord and Savior Jesus Christ. I want to end with this last scripture here, and it's in John chapter 14, verses 1-6. And it says, let not your heart be troubled. Believe in God, Jesus Christ. He says, let not your heart be troubled. You believe in God, believe also in me. In my Father's house are many mansions. If it were not, I would not have told you. I go to prepare a place, and if I go and prepare, I will come again and receive you to myself, that where I am, you may be also. And where I go, and the way you know. Thomas said to him, Lord, we do not know where you are going, and how can we know the way? Jesus said to him, I am the way, the truth, and the life. No one comes to the Father except through me. See, Jesus Christ, the hope of glory, and we are looking forward to the return of our Lord and Savior, because at that time, we will receive that crown of righteousness, because that crown of righteousness to all those who love his appearing. But to those who are holding on to this stuff here now, that's all going to be burned up. The question is why? Why are you holding on to this? Why is this something you want to continue? God has promised you so much more than you can even imagine.
So much better. Yeah.
Glory to God. Word, and know that we will all be changed. Do not stagger at the promise of God. Do not be weak in faith. Be strong in faith and give glory to God, and be fully persuaded that God is able to perform what he has promised in his word. Heavenly Father, I thank you for this word that's come forth, God. I thank you for you encouraging someone right now to come to you and give their life to you by accepting your son, Jesus Christ, as their master right now. I thank you for this right now. In the name of your son, Jesus Christ, amen.
Amen and amen and amen.
Amen.
Glory to God.
Hallelujah,
amen. Jesus. Thank you, Lord. Amen. Thank you, Lord. Hallelujah,
amen.
Jesus.
Thank you, Jesus. Thank you, Jesus.
Oh, we have indeed heard a wonderful word on today. And in a moment, we are going to give you, if you're within the sound of our voice, whether you're in the chat room or you're in our sanctuary this morning, we're going to give you an opportunity to change your eternal address. We want you to get in on the real hope, the real light, the real truth. Hallelujah. But first, before we do that, I'm going to ask our beloved pastor, prophetess, teacher, Pastor Vanessa Carver to come forth, and I need for her to, we ask that we bind our messages and we seal that word so that we may once again be reminded to write the word of God up on the fleshy tables of our heart. So at this time, I'm going to have Pastor Vanessa come forth to have a word and to speak to us as God's prophet and also as his intercessor as she prays for this message. Amen.
Thank
Amen. Thank you. Thank you, Apostle. And thank you, Bishop Carver, for that message about restored hope and his understanding about who we are and where we are in eternity. I thank you, Lord, today for the word. I thank you, Father God, today for the peace that surrounds it, how it was delivered, that you restore the vessel, Father God, that poured into us and those who are listening, those who will listen in the future. I thank you, Lord, that this penetrates our hearts where there was misunderstanding, where there was error. I thank you, Father God, today that we humbly receive your word so that it can enhance our life and those in our lives. I thank you, Lord, today that we have peace about the truth and not be affected by what culture says and what culture cancels about what truth really is. And I thank you, Lord, today that we can know that we are your children. You've gone before us and you've made every crooked thing straight, especially as it pertains to your word. And I thank you, Lord, today that you begin to restore and revive those who have had hope or dealt with or been focused on hopelessness because of their environment, because of loss in any area. I thank you, Lord, today that this word be sealed, this word be sealed because of your power and your might. And because of the intent of which it was delivered and how it has been taught, that we have teachable spirits today. That we have teachable spirits to apply the word and to understand the word and to comprehend the word. That we be patient with whatever that process is. But that we begin to pray about those processes to get in a place to study your word so that we're not victims of error, so they're not victims of hopelessness no matter what's going on in our life, and that we can have quick recovery. And we thank you for this thing and all the things, Lord, that your word is saying to us tonight, today, in the precious name of Jesus Christ. Amen.
Amen. Thank you so much, beloved. Thank you, precious one. Hallelujah. Now, my friends, if you're within the sound of our voices and you have not, hallelujah, ask the Lord to pardon you and to make you have not made the Lord your Savior in the pardon of your sin. The good news is Bishop Lester came and told you who God wants you to be in him. Our brother wanted you to, he was telling you today, he doesn't want you to remain in your hopelessness. He wants you to rise and to begin a relationship with Jesus Christ as your Lord and Savior so that you might have access, hallelujah, to that unconditional love of salvation and faith so that you might walk in the fruit of the Spirit that you may have heard others speak about but you never really understood. Hallelujah. Jesus is our hope and he is our glory. And for you to be connected to that, you don't have to wait until you get yourself all cleaned up or, you know, you can't fix yourself. Because the word of God says that's how God showed his great love towards us. While we were yet sinners, he died for us. So he wants you to come today just as you are, with all your brokenness and all your woundedness. Hallelujah. And give it to him. And all you have to do is say, Lord Jesus, I'm a sinner. And I confess and repent of my sin. For I believe, Jesus, that you are the Son of the living God. Hallelujah. That you were born, you lived, you died, and you rose for my sin. So please come into my life, Jesus, and become my Lord and Savior. Hallelujah. I want you to come in, Father, so I will know and so that I will know who you are for me. And if you just pray that prayer in Jesus' name, hallelujah, then just like that, you are a member of the family of God. Hallelujah.
Amen.
You are in his presence now. You are under his umbrella of love, peace, hope, joy. You, hallelujah, will be led and directed by the Most High God. You, from this point forth, will no longer ever be alone. So we just want you to, hallelujah, get not only continue to give your life to Christ, but understand it is a process. And the way that you learn is by studying to show yourselves approved. When you study, you pray and ask the Holy Spirit to show you what you need to learn. And you connect yourself with other true Christ believers so that they can help you grow into and understand who you really are and what your position is in Christ for your life.
Yeah.
And we, hallelujah, want to thank God once again for the anointed messenger, hallelujah, that came forth today. I want to thank you, Bishop Lester, because, you know, you and all the servant leaders here always tell the truth, the whole truth, and nothing but the truth. I want to praise God for Minister Tina, who is indeed listening, and we're praising God for Apostle Zeta, because on yesterday she had a very beautiful tea, and we're just praising God for the presence of God there and the people that were blessed there, and we just want to say, Apostle Zeta, we thank you for all that you do for Spirit Body as well as for your community. You know, I honor you every day, and I praise God every day, and I just pray his continued blessings upon you and the works of your hands. Hallelujah. So, once again, we just want to thank you all that came out this morning. Hallelujah. We pray that you will just continue to acknowledge Christ in all that you do. And as you go through this holiday season, we ask that you remember the elderly. Remember those who might be grieving. Remember those who may be in need. Hallelujah.
Yes.
Because if you look at Christmas, what it's really just saying is we need more Christ. We need more Jesus. So
Amen.
I pray that we will be the ones who will lead the way. So if there be nothing else, may the grace of God and the sweet communion of the Holy Spirit rest, rule, and abide in you greatly. We pray that you continue to have a beautiful and blessed holiday season. We'll see you same time, same station next Sunday for our Christmas service that will be taught by none other than Apostle Zeta Flowers. So we just want you to go out beautiful and blessed week. Acknowledge Christ in all that you do, and you are dismissed. Oh, but remember, God loves you, and so do we. Go in peace, beloved.
Amen.
Have a blessed day.
Amen. Amen.
Wonderful.
Amen.
Wonderful.
Love
you all.
Love you all. God bless you. Get rested, Minister Tina. Bye-bye, everybody.
Amen.
Amen.
Love you, Miss L. Love you, my angel.
Love you, too.
Love you, Sister Michelle. It's Mother Shirley. You're my daughter. I love you.